Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Is brain rot just a catchy phrase or a real health concern? Coming up today on Advanced. Hi there. My name is Gabe, and you are watching, well, not watching, you're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. I normally teach on the TV program, Studio Classroom, so I'm used to saying watching. But actually, I strongly believe in using your listening skills because that stokes the imagination a little more, makes you focus a little more, and so I'm happy to be here on Advanced. It is not just me in the studio today. Joining me, we have Eva. Hello, Eva.
Hi, everyone. Great to be back again.
Eva, back again. It is our first time tag teaming together on Advanced.
Yep.
Yeah, this is great.
It is. Looking forward.
Yes, yes, it's going to be a great time. And hopefully this is a topic that you're interested in.
I am.
Or kind of, I don't know, have you thought about this much before? We're talking about brain rot today, friends, which could be described, our lesson will define it as kind of the deterioration or kind of slowing or breaking down of a person's mental state because of over-consuming really pointless or unchallenging material. And so that's what causes brain rot. So Eva, again, like, so is this something that you've given a lot of thought to?
I have sometimes taken a step backwards and asked myself, did I really need to be reading this? You know, did I really need to be watching this or listening to this? And I'm thankful that sometimes I do catch myself in those moments because sometimes it's so easy to just like be scrolling and be like consuming all these things unknowingly, you know?
Yeah. Are you conscious of or aware of how many hours a day you're on your computer or phone?
I think I am not, but thankfully today there are many ways that you can be conscious, you know?
Yeah, your phone will tell you.
I know, yeah. You can either go to your settings, you know, to see the different types of apps that you use, how much of time you're on. And I think I'm on my phone on those social media apps like 2 hours a day. That is a lot.
I probably am too.
I know.
It's not 2 hours straight.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just, you know, a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there.
And yeah, I think that's what gets you because you don't see the minutes add up, but if you think about it,
it does.
It is a lot.
It does all add up. In fact, I think we all have our maybe social media platforms of choice, the ones we tend to go to more often than others. I had to hide my Facebook app because I'm one of those guys who just doom scrolls through Facebook on my phone.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I had, eventually I was like, oh no, this is terrible because the things I was seeing was, it's funny. There's a lot of memes. You know what I mean? Or like sometimes I'll respond to a post.
Yes.
You know.
Yep.
And in the end, most of the time, it's kind of meaningless. And so I end up having to hide that on my phone. I didn't take it off my phone, but I put it in a place where it's not obvious.
Yeah. Get you many steps before you open the app.
Exactly.
That's nice.
Yeah. Have you ever done something like that to kind of stop you from scrolling too much?
No, but I did put a timer.
Oh, timer.
Yeah. So what happens is that you put a timer, you get a reminder, and then you're like, oh, okay. You know, maybe it's a bit too much time. It's just like a friction point for you to think, do I want to stop or do I want to go on?
Yeah, that's good. At least it's there to get you to think about. Yeah. Do you think that watching or reading mindless content, a lot of this stuff online on social media is kind of mindless. It's not challenging. It's just kind of, like I said, like a lot of funny memes or stuff like that. Do you think that can affect your thinking or your mood?
I think it can affect my mood. Not so much thinking, but, you know, if I see too many maybe upsetting news, you know, then I think I would just think a lot about it. Because, you know, a lot of things that you see and you come across, it doesn't just stay in your brain for that one moment. Sometimes when you are in the bathroom, when you're in the grocery shop, then you just, oh yeah, I did think about that. And maybe I was feeling a certain way, and because I subconsciously think back on that, I'll be like, oh dear, you know, my mood is suddenly disrupted. So I think that happens to us a lot.
Yeah, and I, of course, the effect is different based or depending on the content, you know, that we're watching or that we're going through on social media or online. Some content is just better than others. Some content is going to be kind of stupid and pointless, right? And yeah, I think it they all play a role. They're all different factors that go on with, you know, how we're affected by social media and screen time in general. The amount of time we spend on a screen, whether it's our devices in our pockets or in front of a computer screen, something like that. Friends, our title is Brain Rot Real? We're going to, again, see a definition of brain rot in this first section, so let's get right into it.
Is brain rot real? Determining the impact of screen time on the brain. Doom scrolling, Instagram obsessions, mindless YouTube video viewing. Distracting behaviors, yes. But can they actually rot a person's brain? In 2024, Oxford University Press designated brain rot as its word of the year, defining it as the supposed deterioration of a person's mental or intellectual state caused by over-consuming trivial or unchallenging material found on social media and other online platforms. It's what happens when you consume too much low-quality online content, which is like junk food for the brain, said Dr. Andriana Benitez, an associate professor in the Department of Neurology at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. But whether that content is actually harming the brain and how remains unclear.
And it will probably remain unclear throughout the rest of this lesson and tomorrow, unfortunately. However, we're going to learn a lot of things about, you know, the effects of a lot of screen time, as well as what people can be doing instead of spending time on their screens. So let's get right into this paragraph here. We're learning about determining the impact of screen time on the brain. Doom scrolling. Is this something that you are guilty of, Eva? Do you like to doom scroll?
I definitely am guilty of it, especially at nights and the weekends. You know, I'm just on my sofa and doing nothing, and I'm just like, okay, let's pull up something and see what's going on in the world, what's happening in people's lives, and just go and scroll all the way.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think of as doom scrolling as well, just kind of going from one post to the next without really thinking about it.
Yep.
You know, my finger is just swiping.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, some definitions of doom scrolling might be a little more negative, like it could be spending a lot of time reading negative news or content online, but I think I have a broader definition in my mind with doom scrolling. It is just simply the act of going through post after post without really thinking about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are guilty of this, of course. It's easy to do. Social media platforms make it easy to do.
They do.
That's the point, right?
Yep.
They know how to get you.
They do. And like, I think that's how the algorithm works, because if they know that you like a certain type of news or content, then all the different types of related ones will get pushed to you.
Yep.
And you're just caught in this rabbit hole. You just go down, you know, and just read so many things just related to this one simple thing.
Yeah. And because the algorithm knows your taste.
Correct.
Then you're even more interested in the next post that it pushes to you. Yeah. So doom scrolling is a great word. And then we read Instagram obsessions.
Ooh.
Obsession is an extreme unhealthy interest in something, or maybe even worry or concern about something. And it's so extreme that it basically stops you from thinking about anything else. There's actually a great, kind of a classic book out there. I think they made it into a movie too, called Magnificent Obsession. That plot was about a good obsession. It's about someone's obsession with making other people's lives better. So obsessions don't have to be bad. However, most of the time, it is kind of this unhealthy interest in something.
Yep.
Do you feel like you have an obsession with social media?
I hope not.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so far no obsession, just occasional doom scrolling.
Yeah.
But also we see another way to describe this in the next sentence. Basically, these first three sentences, the first one is just a word, but these first three lines is just different ways of describing the same type of behavior. Mindless YouTube video viewing. And the idea of mindless is just like it sounds. You kind of turn your brain off if you're doing something that is mindless. So, distracting behaviors, yes. Are they, in other words, are they distracting behaviors? Yes, they are. But can they actually rot a person's brain? Before reading this article, Eva, would you say that these things can rot a person's brain?
Well, I think the word rot is quite extreme, you know. It's where something stops living. You know, it kind of is dead. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you know, bad stuff happened to it, you know, where the parasites get in it, you know, feeds on it. And
the rotten part can affect the parts around it.
Exactly. So I think rot really is a very extreme way of describing it, but it's possible, you know, because if you are obsessed about something that is not good, it will just make you think a lot of like negative thoughts, you know, and just make you feel down. So I think it is possible and it will affect you. You know, I think that's the most important thing, you know, how rot affects good things as well.
Right. That reminds me of that kind of expression, idiom in English about one rotten apple can spoil the whole barrel. Mm-hmm. So if there's a rotten fruit, you got to take it out. Otherwise, it's going to affect all the other ones. But we read on here, last year, Oxford University Press designated brain rot as its word of the year. What does it mean to designate something?
So to designate is to choose someone or something for a particular job or purpose. So I think over here, it means that, there is a special place for the word brain rot in our lives, which is why it is now in the dictionary.
Yeah, every year a new word is chosen. A new word is basically minted or accepted as an official word in the English language. Words that didn't exist officially, you know, before, but now we're putting them in our dictionaries. And this word this year is brain rot, or last year, defining it as the supposed deterioration. Supposed here, we're not sure, but it seems like it. Deterioration of a person's mental or intellectual state caused by over-consuming trivial or unchallenging material found on social media and other online platforms. I think this is something that seems like common sense, right? We know how we feel after we've read a good book or some good literature, right? Versus just kind of looking at meaningless stuff online, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of common sense. We feel like, okay, if this good literature, this good book is like the steak for my meal, then this other stuff is kind of like the junk food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's exactly what our lesson compares it to in this next sentence. It's what happens when you consume too much low quality online content, which is like junk food for the brain. Do you think that's a pretty good description?
I think so, because sometimes after eating junk food, you feel heavy. You feel like, oh, I'm full. However, I'm not satisfied.
Mm.
And I think that's what this probably means. You know, if you read something that was valuable, you learn from it and you're like, hey, I'm inspired. I feel great. But if you read or come across something that is not good, if it is like junk food, you feel a bit like heavy. You feel like, man, I don't think I've learned anything. In fact, I have lost something, which is what brain rot is.
Yeah. Speaking of, we've kind of mentioned the idea of consuming good things.
Yeah.
Have you been come across any good books recently or good material that you enjoyed reading?
Yeah. I actually like watching or listening to a lot of different podcasts.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So a lot about career growth, you know, how to have a growth mindset, you know, how to have a mindset of abundance and not scarcity, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How to get along with your coworkers. Yeah. So I think podcasts like that, and of course the one that we do, you know, is things that are very handy, you know, on the go, you can listen to it. And I think it teaches you things as well. So yeah, this one I like a lot.
Yeah, I always feel like our advanced program is kind of like a podcast, you know, because it really does just require you to practice your listening skills, which often does kind of make you rely on your imagination a little more and make you focus a little more. So I agree with you, Eva. I think it's great to find things like podcasts that are very educational, very good for developing whatever area of life you want to grow in. And those things are the opposite of what our lesson calls junk food or brain rot, things that'll just kind of rot your brain. The last sentence here in this section says, but whether that content is actually harming the brain and how remains unclear. If something remains unclear, that means we haven't discovered yet whether it's true or not. So there's still not clarity on the issue. We're not sure if it's actually deteriorating our brains or if, like our lesson says, it's just supposedly deteriorating our brains and our minds. So let's get into the next section. Screen habits can shape health.
Screen habits can shape health. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, half of teenagers in the U.S. spend 4 hours or more looking at screens each day. And global estimates suggest adults may be online an average of more than 6 hours per day. There are no federal health guidelines for how many hours of daily screen time are appropriate for teens or adults. Researchers lack sufficient data to fully understand the concept of brain rot and what it might lead to. There really isn't a coherent science around it, Benitez said. There is, however, CDC data showing that 1 in 4 teenage frequent scrollers report feeling anxious or depressed. Some research suggests problems with heavy online use may begin quite young. Adolescents who spend greater amounts of time in front of screens may be more likely to experience mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, and oppositional defiant disorder, and related physical symptoms such as pain, dizziness, or nausea. That's according to a 2024 analysis of data from the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study, the largest long-term child brain development study in the U.S. Other studies have potentially linked brain rot to emotional desensitization, cognitive overload, negative self-worth, and impaired executive function skills, including memory, planning, and decision-making.
I think this is kind of common sense as well, right? Screen habits can shape health, specifically mental health. But of course, mental health can also affect, you know, how we view exercise and how often we want to get out and do things that are healthy for our body as well. It's all connected. How does our lesson start here, this section?
Okay, so over here it talks about how teenagers, you know, they spend 4 hours or more looking at screens each day. Mm-hmm. And adults may be online an average of more than 6 hours. So I hope this includes the time at work, because if you think about it, you're only awake for, I don't know, 12 hours? If you're spending like 6 hours of that online,
you, Eva, that's crazy. Are you saying you get 12 hours of sleep? I'm envious of you.
Well.
Maybe like 16 or 17 hours, right?
Awake.
Yeah, awake.
Yeah.
12 hours would be nice.
I know.
To get 12 hours sleep.
If you spend so much of that time online, that's very scary, because, you know, you commute to work, you have your food, you spend time with people, and 6 hours is just not very much of the day left.
Yeah, exactly. So we're getting a couple of different estimates here, some based on the U.S. studies and some based on these global studies. That's why we see the global estimates suggest adults may be online an average of more than 6 hours per day. You know, this is just a reminder, like, if we don't want our kids to have bad habits, we have to set a good example.
Yeah.
Right? Because you might tell them, oh, don't spend so much time on your screen. Don't spend so much time on that special device, the tablet we got you. But they see you scrolling.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, well, I'm working right now. And it's like, yeah, okay. But still, you got to be careful, you know, when you're doing that. And knowing that that's also setting an example. to them. So there are no federal health guidelines for how many hours of daily screen time are appropriate for teens or adults.
Mm-hmm.
I get the idea that if there were health guidelines and if we knew exactly how much was good or bad, maybe some countries would even try to impose rules about that.
Well, in Singapore, there are actually health guidelines for this.
Really?
Yeah, especially for kids below the age of 7. Because I think more and more research shows that a lot of these behaviors is picked up, you know, when you're mm-hmm. young, you know, at home, in school. So there are guidelines that say you shouldn't be taking more than 30 minutes continuously mm-hmm. for children aged below 7.
I like that rule.
Mm-hmm.
No longer than 30 minutes
yeah.
and one sitting
Correct.
At one time.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so which means maybe in a day they will watch 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. Maybe it adds up to more than 2 or 3 hours, but mm-hmm. at least it's not, you know, all in the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, our lesson continues. Researchers lack sufficient data. That means we don't have enough information to fully understand the concept of brain rot and what it might lead to. One thing leads to another, we say in English. So brain rot might lead to something even worse. There really isn't a coherent science around it. Benitez said, what is coherent here?
So coherent, I think, is something that is easy to understand because it is presented as being very clear. It's reasonable. So when you read it or you hear it, you know, get it immediately. And I think that's what he's trying to say over here.
Right. Yeah, it's very clear from beginning to end. A related word is cohesive. That means from the beginning to end, it's very well put together. It makes sense when you have the whole flow of the information. So there is, however, we read on, there is, however, CDC data showing that 1 in 4 teenage frequent scrollers report feeling anxious or depressed. This is not surprising. I don't know how you would feel about being called a frequent scroller, but that's kind of how our lesson describes people who frequently scroll on their cell phones. Some research suggests problems with heavy online use may begin quite young, and we see a lot of different problems that could be a result here in this section. We're talking about things, mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, often or also known as ADHD. Perhaps that is the more common way we refer to this disorder. And one that I haven't heard of quite as much, oppositional defiant disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oppositional. Do you have ODD, Eva?
Well, I must say that I thought every teenager goes through this, you know?
It's just called being rebellious, right?
I know. Whether you are 3 or you are 13, you know, I've always had, you know, if my mom said, don't go out, I'm like, I'm going to go out.
Yeah,
so I definitely felt this way when I was a teen, but I'm not sure if it was because I was just growing up or because I was consuming so much content as well, you know, and the influence of friends, you know, they send me things that also talk about this kind of like more mature themes, you know, things that maybe were ahead of my age.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe.
Maybe, right? So, oppositional defiant disorder, maybe known as ODD, is this kind of an ongoing pattern of anger and things related to anger, like being irritable, just a lot of arguing, and that just general rebellious spirit towards parents and authority figures. So when you have a definition like that, you think, okay, well, that's just normal for teenagers, right? Regardless of whether you have social media or not. A lot of teens kind of act that way anyway, but I think it could be maybe heightened or maybe made worse, right, because of things like doom scrolling and spending too much time on a screen. So there are related physical symptoms as well. Let's get back to our lesson text here. Symptoms such as pain, dizziness, or nausea.
Mm.
We all know what pain is. Dizziness, I've been dizzy recently because I had a fever. And
mm-hmm.
I think you kind of get dizzy feelings when you have a fever sometimes.
Yep.
Nausea, that's a noun. Nauseous is the adjective. Do you ever get nauseous, Eva?
I do. Sometimes when I am on a boat, you know,
okay.
It's very rocky.
So you might get like seasickness.
Correct. Right. And that feeling of nausea just makes me feel like throwing up sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's that feeling of you know, that you'll want to throw up. That's nausea.
Yep.
If something makes you want to throw up, we have another form of that word, which is nauseating. It's a nauseating, for example, an old movie, couple decades old, The Blair Witch Project is a nauseating movie because of the way it's filmed. It kind of makes people want to throw up. But we move on here. According to a 2024 analysis of data from the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study, the largest long-term child brain development study in the U.S. So it's a study that we can rely on because of how long it's been going on. There's another important word we should talk about in this next sentence here. It's the word desensitization.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
So I think desensitization comes from the word sensitive, you know, sensitize. Mm-hmm. And to desensitize, it just means that, I don't react as strongly to something. Maybe last time I was very sensitive to noise, mm-hmm. but maybe because I've been listening so much to loud music, I become desensitized to it. I can listen to so much loud music now and it doesn't affect me anymore. I don't react anymore.
Yeah, so desensitization is not necessarily a bad thing. Like when you first move into a new place and maybe there's a lot of traffic outside, at first you notice it, but after living there a few nights or weeks, you basically start to not notice it at all. That's becoming desensitized to the outside noise. However, here we're talking about desensitization kind of in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because some things in life should affect us, right? And we should be sensitive to these things. However, we start to become desensitized. So brain rot might be linked to emotional desensitization, cognitive overload. That's just a lot of stuff going on in our minds, too much for us to handle, negative self-worth, and impaired executive function skills. Impaired means something that is not operating correctly. So in a normal situation, we should be able to make kind of executive decisions or be able to decide things easier and use our brains in a normal way. However, because of social media or brain rot in particular, then it's kind of affecting those function skills, including memory, planning, and decision making. We do have more to learn about this topic because it's not all bad news, and there's actually some great things that we could take away from the next part of our lesson. So that's all the time we have for today. My name is Gabe.
My name is Eva.
Saying goodbye.
See you.